It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be with God's people and a church that believes, practices, teaches, and stands for the truth. I'm thankful for this privilege, although I would have preferred to have heard our pastor preach today. But as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to ask a question of each of us this morning. I asked myself that question as well. And we've got a long reading, so we'll begin in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. Now, beloved, anything God's man or God's word tells us, we know is true. And we know that this literally took place because God, who authored this book through the men that he used to write it, the Bible tells us he cannot lie. So there's a question, though, that I want to ask each of us this morning. Look back in verse 4 with me just for a moment. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That reminds me of one word, the word there. I want to ask each of us a question this morning. I'll ask myself the question, of course. Are you there? Am I there? And I believe I'm where, and I believe you're where the Lord would have you be today. You're here in the house of God at the appointed time. And God would be pleased for us to be here. So I don't believe the ravens would have fed Elijah anywhere else. Nor would the widow woman have appeared anywhere else but there. And God used this word to help us, to teach us that we need to be there, or we need to keep being here where God has placed us. God didn't say, beloved, Elijah, ramble around as you please. I'll provide for you. There, beloved, was a place, or the place of God's will for Elijah. Now, three things come to mind when I think about this. There is the place of his purpose. There is the place of his power. And there is the place of his position, or provision, I should say. And in the year that you and I live, in the year 2008, false teaching, worship, false worship, and idolatry are growing by leaps and bounds. And it seems to increase more and more every day. False teachers are grossly misleading people by the thousands. So what is so tragic is that the people are being lulled into a false sense of security, when in reality they will ultimately be doomed into facing the judgment of God. But God's made us a promise, and we have much to be thankful for today. And one of the blessings that we have is when we come to the house of God most every week, y'all are here. And God is pleased, and we should be here, you see, unless we're providentially hindered. And so the terrible circumstances that we see about us today are the subject of the passage of Scripture as we look at today. As we look at it today. And there are people today that are not concerned about being there, or people who are not concerned about being here in the house of God. The northern kingdom of Israel, as we think about this, it had become engrossed in wickedness, had become engrossed in idolatry and false worship. Now that exists in our world today. And what saddens me is it exists in our nation today. As I think about it, so entangled are these people, and so entangled are people today, that they believe and follow almost anything anybody practices, even though they call themselves a church and people accept what they say. But that's not always the truth, unless they believe and follow and teach and practice what this book has to say. We have the Word of God today. We're not to look for some other answer, but look in the book, the King James Bible, if you will. It teaches us what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is, and a true church. It's a visible body, not an invisible body. It's a local body, not a universal body, if you will. So, as we see this, people have turned away from the Lord and have followed after Baal today. And they accept this, and they're interested in it, and they'll follow it, and they'll practice it, even though it's not the truth. This book is the truth. So, let me just think with you for a few moments on just three simple thoughts, and I promise we'll get out of here by 1:15. Thank you, brother. Keep saying that. I'll need that after about 40 minutes, okay, or 30 minutes. Thank you. There was the place of God's purpose. God's got a purpose, you see. Got a purpose for Home Baptist Church. Got a purpose for your life and for mine. or our lives. Look in the latter part of verse 4 with me again, if you will. And he said, there was the place of God's purpose. And he said over there in that verse, he said, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Where? There. He told them where to go, and they went there, you see. And God has it there for us, for you. God has it there for you, you see. Somewhere he wants you to be. Somewhere, some things he wants you and I to do. He knows we've got so much time down here, but he's got purpose for us. He's got things for us to do. There are people today that need to know our Savior and our Lord. There are people today that need to know church truth, for example. One of the great blessings of being affiliated and being a member of this church is to know that it has stood for church truth down through the generations, if you will, and still does today. I was thinking this morning as we were singing and thinking back over the years of the conferences and the services and the revival meetings and the blessing of the people here have always stood for the truth. It was here, or may I use the word there, where God placed his truth right here in this local body to people that contend for it. And thank God it has. You all have always done that. You'll never be truly happy elsewhere, nor can you please God anywhere but here or there. That's what it takes, you see. You might do wonderful things and become a success in the eyes of the world. Might be accepted as someone who is an acceptable person in the business world or in the shop where you work or the office where you're employed or anything like that. But there will always be a haunting sense of having chosen life second best. You see, beloved, today, having been taught the best and the truth down through the years and still do today with our pastor, Brother Gordon, today, you can't readily turn your back on the truth when you know it. And he's deposited his truth here. And he's made provision for that truth to be here and taught and stood for and practiced and followed, if you will. So we'll never be satisfied with anything second best. We want the truth. We desire it. And thank God we have a pastor that believes it and teaches it, preaches it. So here's a question. How rewarding are earth's rewards and acclaim if we miss the reward of God's approval? People want to be accepted out in the world today and followed and admired and everything of that nature, if you will. But really, the Bible teaches us that the prize of the high calling of God is in Christ Jesus, and he deposited his truth in his churches, if you will, his kind of churches. And to be here, Nancy and I have been here just for, I shouldn't be talking about me, I want to talk about the Lord and there. But to see and be encouraged that down through the years, you all have always stood here, there, for the truth. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. So there is the place of blessing. There is the place of blessing, if you will. Look back with me in the book of Genesis, if you will, in chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33. When Jacob wandered from Bethel and trouble fell upon him in Shalem, and look in Genesis 33, verse 18. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. In chapter 35 and verse 1, notice what he said. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleest from the face of Esau thy brother. Now think about that for a moment, just quickly. Sometimes people go back to Bethel during a revival meeting or a conference. They get stirred, and they're blessings to us. We enjoy the fellowship with the saints of God to come this way and see the encouragement that comes to us and the challenges that are given to us from the Word of God, if you will, during the conference or the revival meeting. And so we're pleased to be here. I want to keep saying here, and I want to say there, though, too, if you will. So we don't often dwell there, but we're here, hearing the Word of God, following the Word of God, practicing the Word of God. There is not a particular emotional experience. There is simply the place of God's will, what God would have us to know and what God would have us to believe. Now, notice with me three examples. Turn with me again in the book of Acts, chapter 3, if you will, please. Acts chapter 3 and in verse 36. Or chapter 13 and verse 36. Acts 13 and verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Notice that with me. In so doing this, he was there where God had appointed him to be. Epaphras prayed in that the saints might stand perfect. In other words, that they might be there, that you might earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints and now through the years have stood for here all those years. Jesus could say to the Father, he was always there. Whenever God called him and told him to do this or to do that or go here or go there, he did so. And so when God's word is in teaching us that he has a Cherith and a Zarephath for you and I, he's got a work for us here or there, you see, where he's placed us. And one of the things I look back over, you, and so many of you have been members, not for just a few days, but for years, generation after generation, you're still members of Home Baptist Church. You're there. You're right here where God wants you to be. He's put you here. And the Bible said God placed us in the body as it pleaseth him. That's what he desires. And he wants us to be steadfast. Now, you may not need this, maybe just this preacher today. But you know what? I'm sure today that all of us need to be encouraged in it, to take that word. As the Bible said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. Isn't that our desire? It ought to be. He cares for you that much. He's interested in you that much. He might take us and put us across the country. It may be right here. And that's what God has done. And you're a blessing and an encouragement to one another. And there's a song that says, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. But are we willing to stay where he wants us to stay? And I'm sure we want to do that. I look at you and you're a blessing to us. You're an encouragement to us. In Matthew 28 and verse 16, look, notice this with me, if you will, please. Didn't know you'd have a Bible drill today, did you? But in Matthew 28 and verse 16, the Bible said, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So he set us here and wants us to be steadfast and given the churches of his the great commission to practice and follow. There was, if you were, they were in the place of divine appointing, the church. They were there. They were there, if you will. It was there that they received the divine appointment. He gave that to them. And some have no commission because they're not there at the place that God has appointed, at the church where he deposited his truth. And that's sad today. They don't have any idea. If a person today, if you ask them church truth, if you ask them about the doctrines of grace today, or you ask them about the responsibility of the church and the responsibility of the church to its pastor and what have you, they don't have any idea. But we know, and we've been taught those things. But secondly, not only was that so, but there is the place of God's power. There is the place of God's power. Think about that with me. I don't believe the miracle of the ravens and the meal barrel would have occurred anywhere but there. God had appointed that to be there. And he sent them there. And they provided there, if you will. And many never feel God's power, beloved, and they never see any evidences of him working because they're simply out of his purpose and out of his will. God placed his people in his true New Testament churches if they'll but keep their hearts tender to his word and be here. And so as we see it, you might have heard sermons that talked about what great power Elijah had, but he was simply there in the place of that power. God provided it. So there is that place, if you will. Unless it is connected to the source of power, a light bulb has no light in itself. Must have the source of power. We have no power unless we're in the source of power. We have no power as a church unless we're in his kind of church, if you will, and be submissive to his will and his word and follow the leadership of our pastor, for example. Let me show you another verse. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 10. The truth of the matter, as we think about this, if you will, is God's not looking for men strong enough to use, but really men faithful enough to be used, because he cares. He cares. And as we see this in verse 10, he's talking here to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. If someone were in here preaching today, and I don't believe in that tongue business, but someone could come in here and preach in English and we could understand it, but someone could come in here and speak some other language and you need an interpreter. But when someone comes in saved by the grace of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, And God's man gets up in the pulpit and preaches God's word. Our pastor gets up and preaches God's word to us. We can understand it. He preaches clearly. He preaches completely. And he preaches simply enough for us to hear it and to follow it and practice it. And so that's beneficial to us. And it's helpful to us. The young lad who supplied the loaves and the fishes to feed the 5,000 would have been shocked to know that he had food enough to feed the multitude, but he did. God took what he had and made it what it needed to be to feed the 5,000. And that's beneficial, you see. He didn't know what he had until Jesus broke it and blessed it and then passed it around. And it was more than enough for them to eat and enjoy and be fed and nourished. Only when we're there in the place of his purpose are we in the place of his power. We're to be in the house of the Lord when the doors are open. And that's what's so encouraging to us, this lady here and myself. Because when we come, you're here. There. I mean here. Brother and sister, you sit there. I know where to find you. You sit there. I know where you'll be. You sit over there. You see, but you're here, and that's such a blessing. You see, we could talk about Samson. He looked better, and maybe some would say after his haircut, but he lost his strength. he wasn't obeying the Lord. He wasn't in the place of the power that God would have him to be there. There's no place just as good as there. The place of God's purpose, if you will. And God has a purpose. I believe one of the reasons this church is still in existence today is because God has had a purpose for Home Baptist Church. And he's wanted you to stand for the truth. And generation after generation has been in this body of believers. And you're, many of you are not new church members here at Home Baptist Church. And God had a purpose for you. And he's been using this church because this church has stood to be submissive to his provision and his purpose, if you will. Sadly, sometimes we seem to be yielded to God and living there. But there are some today, thank God they're not here, but those who are in rebellion against the Word of God. Man can get up and preach and teach the Word of God, and some people say, I'll be glad when he's done. I'll be glad when he's finished. Others are saying, boy, that I want to hear what God has to say. What does God have to say? In a given situation in our lives, what is God's purpose for us? What is his provision for us, you see? And so we might try to make bargains with the Lord, but there's no offering to him. There's no compromise or substitute, because God rates rebellion as a grievous thing. And you all have always been tender. Your hearts have been tender to the Word of God. And when someone has asked you to pray for someone, we know that you're praying for them. We've seen that happen in just a short while. We've been members here. And you keep them and you pray for them, if you will. Now, thirdly, before time gets away, there is a place of God's provision. Let's go back over to 1 Kings chapter 17 again. Look in the latter part of verse 4. And then we want to read verse 9 as well. Let's read verse 4. First Kings 17 and verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Now listen. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. There. There. You know, when you get in the house of God, the only thing that satisfies that hungering in your heart is a lesson from this word. From this book. And that's what we have, and that's what we enjoy. Look with me again, beloved, in verse 9 this time. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God's plan always works. If we'll follow it, if we'll keep our hearts tender to it, and make it a part of our lives. You see, when we submit to his will and follow him, we're doing what God placed us, what he'd have us to do. That may not mean much to some, but it means a lot to those whose hearts are tender and steadfast in the truth of God's precious word. God's plans work when we submit ourselves to his will and follow him. Now notice, there are so many examples, such as our Lord found Peter fishing for fish, and he made him a fisher of men over in the New Testament. Matthew collecting taxes, he found him and made him a writer of the gospel, didn't he? God used him. Just as we desire for God to use us. And so when Elijah found this woman, she was engaged in a menial task, gathering sticks. But before he left, she had seen something miraculous. God had a purpose, and God was going to use her. And God did use her. In chapter 17 and verses 13 and 14, again, and Elijah said unto her, Fear not. And do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And so as we see this, and read these verses of Scripture, and notice them together, if you will, the widow was fearful, but Elijah answered her. He promised that God would provide. And you know what? When you look back over your life and you get to be as old as... As old as I am, there are times when you look back over your life today and you've seen where God's provided for you because you've been in His will and taken care of you, hasn't He? You don't have to be in your 70s for that to happen. It can happen to you in your teens, your 20s, your 30s, and 40s, and on. Because you've been there. And you've kept your heart tender to God's word. You've been submissive to the will of God and the word of God. Somebody would say, how do I know what God's word will is for my life? There it is. It's there. God cares about us. He cares about you. He's provided for you to that in that respect. He's given us his precious word to let us know what he wants from us. After all, he's done so much for us, we ought to be willing to do a lot for him, and you all have. We ought to continue along that path and travel that road, if you will, being faithful and submissive to his precious word. And so we see Elijah requested a morsel of bread and looked as though there was enough for only one cake. But it was really a test of faith for the woman. And she passed the test. He didn't fill the barrel. He simply supplied enough. He gave what was needed. He provided what should be provided to feed them, if you will. And he promised to supply our need. They don't always say give us our wants, but he always gives us our need, does he not? Huh? He does. Well, you say, well, I don't get steak every day. Well, I don't either. But sometimes it's good to have fish. Sometimes it's good to have a hamburger. When we go down south for a conference in November, we always, for years now, I've gone the first night of the conference before it begins, we go for catfish. And it's good. Believe me. Have you been with us there, brother? Yeah, I believe you have. And the catfish is good. Makes your hair curly, as long as you can keep it. But if we give God, how sad if we give God the crumbs of our lives and not the whole cake. He's worthy of our best. I look back, you look back in your life today. Would you agree with me that God has provided for us? He didn't have to save us, did he? But he cared enough for you. The Bible teaches us that he loved us when we were unlovable. And he manifested his love toward us when he brought us one day to know his son Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. God's man may have told you one day, I'm not going to marry you. Why not? Because she's saved and you're lost. And you know what? That was told me years ago. But God's been gracious, hadn't he? Hadn't God been good to you? He gave you a spouse, if you will, a husband, a wife, who comes to church with you, serves the Lord together. God has provided, if you will. And I think today, if we're honest with ourselves and with God at one time or another, we've been tempted. But God's kept us away from some things that were harmful to us. He's provided for us. He's protected for us. He's cared for us because he loves us. He's taught you some things that you believe in your heart because they're the truth of his word. He, in that thought of his provision, He's been provided for you to give you the truth of God's word, and you haven't departed the faith. You haven't turned your back on it. You've stood for it. And so it's a blessing. Malachi, though, he reproved the Jews in his day who kept the good animals given to them for sacrifice and gave the Lord the sick and the crippled. God wants our best. And he's worthy of our best. So God said, if we're faithful in the least, he'll show us much. Even a cup of water in his name will be rewarded. And so as we look at this, he never asks us to do more than he can provide for us. Or we can provide for him, I should say. But God's been good. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And we should rejoice as we leave here in a few minutes this morning how thankful we are for the grace and mercy of God. God has provided so much. Please, bless you. Bless your loved ones. Save them. Some of you have gone through life with a burden on your heart for some loved one and been blessed because God in his time has saved them by his marvelous grace and brought them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What a blessing. What a God he is. Because you were there in the house of God. You've remained steadfast down through the years. Some of you are young. Some of us are old, but God's been good to us. I won't point any of you my age. I won't point you out, but God's been a blessing, hasn't he? Amen. Been here all these years. I don't know if this has made sense to you today, but I tried to share with you what God has put in my heart because you've been here. What a blessing you are. What an encouragement you've been. To one another. To your pastor and his wife and children. Keep up the good work. May God give us grace to be steadfast.